Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
So we are back once again. The last time we talked about getting started with infinite banking, but today's like the meat and potatoes, isn't it? Isn't the center of infinite banking is becoming your own banker, Joe. So what do you have in store for us today?
Well, yeah, the subject of infinite banking is always a gigantic subject, and it can be divided into multiple parts. Maybe we'll talk about just two of them today. One is the process and the mechanics, the model, the policy, right? And the other part is thinking like a banker, thinking like an entrepreneur, thinking like the estate owner that you need to become one day. And it starts with day one. Right. It starts with how you treat your finances today. It starts with how you treat yourself like a person who has some assets. Maybe they're shallow. Maybe they're just getting started. They've only got a few bucks in them, $5,000-$10,000, a small amount of money. But you have to start somewhere, and you want to start with a commitment that you're going to fund your family banking system for the rest of your life, because the alternative is giving the money to everybody else. So I want to build up that capital base so that I can do good with it. And I want to do more good the older I get, right? And I can't do more good unless I have the capital and unless I have the cash flow.
So let's talk about the first piece. How does borrowing work in infinite banking, and why is this so powerful?
So I guess one of the issues that we want to get over with potential clients is the idea that the way we've always done it isn't necessarily working in our favor. So everybody has debt. Everybody uses debt. Everybody has multiple sources of credit. And most people look at credit as a positive thing. And I don't understand that, because when you get credit, the more credit you have, the more credit you use. So the more open credit lines you have, the more opportunities you have to get into debt. And people think they're happier the more things they buy, but they're really indebted to more people. The deeper in debt they are, the more payments they're having to send out to somebody else's bank. And the whole idea of the infinite banking concept is to turn that direction around, bring the flow of cash back to yourself, and have it stop going outside your house. So right now, you're borrowing on a bunch of different things: your house, your car, your lifestyle, your credit cards. Maybe you've got a business and you have an SBA loan or a finance company, a line of credit, a relationship, they call it, right? They call it a relationship until you miss a payment, of course. But the whole idea is, if you can control the banking function and have those dollars directed back toward you, you are going to build wealth by the very thing that was causing you to go broke and go bankrupt, miss payments and have aggravation, right? You're going to become the banker. You're going to become the thinking person that controls your cash flow. So you want to start by setting up a capital base. For us, we use a life insurance policy because it checks all the boxes that people would want to have if they were thinking about all the positive attributes. What are the things you'd like to see in an ideal savings account? Well, I absolutely want to have liquidity, because everyone wants to have access to the money, right? We haven't even set up the account yet, and we want access.
We want liquidity.
Okay, fine. We need access to the money. We need liquidity. We'd like to have a long-term vehicle that can guarantee us something in the long run, right? So a guaranteed minimum payback. We'd like to have an account that never goes backwards. So we could use fancy jargon and say, we don't want it market correlated, right? So we want it non-market correlated. We want it to go up all the time, no matter what happens, right? We'd like to have access to loans, not to withdrawals, but we want the opportunity to pay it back. We'd like there to be an estate value or a legacy value, an inheritance value to our family if something were to happen to us. So if I'm trying to build up, let's say, $30,000 a year, in 10 years, I'll have $300,000 plus a few pennies worth of interest. Well, there's $300,000. Very nice. But what if I die? Well, I'd like my family to have more than that. So there's a life insurance piece that's bolted onto that. So maybe in 10 years, if I die, when I die, it's not 300,000, but it's 1,300,000. Right? So it's all these pieces. They're all rolled up into one life insurance policy. But back to the original question, we're using this vehicle as our loan base because when we borrow, we're paying back into the system that is being controlled by us, that is benefiting us, that is creating value for our kids, that's ultimately going to allow us to fund future businesses, future investments, etc. So if you control the asset that created the debt, you can get your money flowing back to yourself instead of flowing out to somebody else.
So talk to us a little bit about that. Why? I mean, because this is one that I get from my wife all the time is like, it blows her mind to think about the idea of borrowing from herself. Like, why would I borrow from myself? And she's got policies and she's not ready to use them yet, but we do have policies with a base. But why would this borrowing from yourself beat traditional loans?
Well, the main thing with a traditional loan is that you're borrowing somebody else's money, right? That somebody else, no matter who it is or what it is, what kind of an institution, they're not nonprofit, right? They're not social agencies, right? They're there to make a profit. And they're there to encourage you to create a relationship with them. They want you to have a good FICO score. They want you to have a good credit history so that what? So that you can borrow more all the time. And the more they can lend to you, the more profit they're going to make on your loans. So you're renting a credit facility. So here, would you like to own the bank or would you like to rent from a bank? So most people are doing is they're renting somebody else's financial machine that's already been built. And you're renting from strangers and they do not have your best interest at heart, right? Their interest is in making a profit off of you. And if you don't stick to your schedule, they're going to take back the asset that you borrowed money to buy. So they'll take back the car. They'll take back the house. They'll take back the property, right? So why would you want to borrow from an outside stranger whose only motivation is profit in their pocket? Now you might say, well, gee, I have a really good relationship with my bank. Yeah. And your bank has promised you to pay you like 1% on your savings. It's wonderful. Or 2% or 5%. And how long is that interest going to be paid to you? Oh, I don't know. Until they decide to change the rate. So it could be 1% this year and 5% next year and 0.5% the year after. There's no schedule. There's no forecast because they're going to do what they have to do to satisfy their stockholders, their shareholders. So my question would be, why would you want to borrow from an outside bank? Why wouldn't you want to borrow from your family? Let's say your big brother or your uncle or your mom or dad had a bunch of money and they said, you know what? You could borrow from the bank at 5% or you could borrow from us at 5%. What would you rather do? You know what? I'd rather borrow from my family because I want them to make the profit. I want them to do well. I want them to create wealth. And at least I could say, I'm contributing to the wealth of my family. And maybe one day that banking system that my family set up might be something that benefits me or my kids. I mean, we're all about family, right? Let's get right down to it. You borrow from a bank, you're borrowing from 100,000 or 1 million strangers who have made deposits into that bank. And by the way, those strangers aren't making much profit on you either. But who's making all the profit? The bank is making all the profit. It's always the middleman. If you're a buyer or if you're a seller, you don't make the lion's share of the profit. The middleman, the lender, the banker, the credit card company, the finance company, the mortgage company, the SBA is the entity, the institution that makes all the money. So what I'm saying is think about the idea of putting yourself in that middle position. And when I put myself in the middle position, I occupy all the positions because I'm the saver, I'm the lender, and I'm the borrower.
Crazy, crazy. So speaking of borrowing, I mean, that's part of the liquidity that we're talking about here. So when somebody takes a policy loan, what would you say are some of the best strategies to repay it and still keep growing their wealth? Because that's one of the things that's amazing about this.
Right. So Nelson Nash, who wrote the book, Becoming Your Own Banker, The Infinite Banking Concept, told us that if you're going to set up a business, and he talked about the grocery store, right? The first thing that you want to do is you want to set up a plan so that nobody takes their groceries out the back door. Because guess what? There's no cash register at the back door. Typically, people taking their groceries out the back door are the owner and the owner's spouse, right? The owner's kids, because they say, well, we own the grocery store. We get to take groceries home for free. Well, guess what? The employees are watching. And pretty soon, you're going to have employees also stealing, because in essence, that's what you did, isn't it? You stole from yourself, but you still stole. You didn't pay the retail rate. So you want to set up a system where you've got the capital growing, right? And why would you pay it back and how would you pay it back? Well, we've got as many different installment arrangements and amortization schedules as we have clients. We'll recommend a client set up an amortization and let them pick the repayment number. Okay, you're borrowing $50,000 against your policy. You're not removing it from the policy. You're actually borrowing it from the insurance company who's putting a lien on your policy. And that's the only impact on the policy. It's just a piece of paper. It's a lien. Your policy continues growing and grows uninterrupted because you're taking a loan against it. Just like with a house, if you take a loan against your house, it doesn't impede the appreciation of the house, does it? Right? So we set up an amortization schedule and you say, well, I know the interest would cost me about $300 a month. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to start paying in $1,000 a month. And, you know, Joe, you told me I'm in control of that, right? Absolutely. So if I want to change the schedule, I can change it, right? Yes, absolutely. Well, what if during the summer, we decide to take a month-long trip to Hawaii, and I say, you know, I really don't want to make any payments during the summer. Well, I tell you what, we'll set it up so that you don't make any payment in July and August. And when you come back in September, we'll resume. Because one of the things that we have to do is we have to get our clients used to freedom. We have to get our clients used to control and having options and having flexibility. So you control the loan. The only thing the insurance company wants to have and needs to have in order to maintain the viability of their system, because they're lending out hundreds of millions of dollars, is they're going to bill you for the interest once a year, interest only. So we'll suggest even take that interest component and divide it into 12. Start paying the interest in advance. So by at the end of the year, you've already got the interest covered. Now, the rest of it is just you figuring out how and when and if you want to make principal repayments. Now, I just got an email from a client today. It's a business with three members, and they need to do some expansion in their building, renovation of the building that they're buying. And they said, we'd like to borrow $200,000, which they can because they have that much equity in their policies above that. And we intend to pay it back within 6 months. Well, that's a very aggressive repayment schedule, but that's the client's decision. And this is the third loan that they're taking. And you know what? First two loans that they took, they paid them back in less than 6 months because they have great cash flow. But they just began to learn that if you control the capital, then you can have loans at the most optimal payback schedule on the planet, because there is no more attractive payback schedule than interest only, period, and principal repayment when you want to.
Yeah, man. So, all right. So we talked about a little bit about why infinite banking is so powerful, why borrowing from yourself is better than traditional loans, and a little bit about strategies for repayment growth. Anything else you want to say as we're wrapping up this episode?
Well, the thing is, when you're using your policies, and I use the word plural because over the years, we've added to our portfolio of policies. So
how often do you do that, Joe?
As often as I have capacity. So my daughter got married, and very shortly after she got married, her husband got examined for a new life insurance policy. And when they had the twins, we bought policies on the kids before they were 2 months old. And when I take on a business partner or a new business that I'm investing in, I'm going to buy a policy on the partner. I'm going to buy policies on my team, on the people who work for me, on key people. So however we can find people where we have an insurable interest, we can buy a policy, and the structure of it, the ownership of it depends on your personal situation. But we're adding these policies to our family trust and our legacy and our estate plan, and they're all working toward the same purpose, which is really cool, because ultimately the kids are going to benefit from being part of the system because they get to access it, they get to use it, they get to borrow and pay back honest rates. So we'd like to charge them the same kind of commercial rates that are being charged out there. Your prime rates above 7, well, I don't have any problem charging above 7 because we're creating a bigger and bigger legacy for the next generation.
Incredible. So next time, we're going to get into a little bit more real world examples of how this works, including different ways that you can invest and grow your policy. But for now, that is a wrap for this episode. Thank you, Joe, and thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back in your earbuds next time.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.